everybody, and welcome to another episode of the WizWid Hockey Podcast. I'm your host, Drew. With me, as always, are my co-host, Ryan.
Hey, so if you want to get good seats in any stadium, break your ankle.
That's wise advice. Now, normally, I would also mention Devin, but unfortunately, he can't be with us this week, so we got a guest. We got a guest, our buddy Paulie.
Hey-o.
Hey. So, yeah, Devin could be with us. We swapped in Paulie for this week. He's knowledgeable. He's a longtime listener, and he's sent us a few emails. We've touched him. Touched the emails, that is. So, yeah. Wow. This is starting off great.
Hey, I feel welcome.
Yeah, so since the last time we were together, a couple things happened. Three games, a trade deadline. Well, that's it. That's basically all that's happened. So we're going to start with the games. I got to take it in chronological order. I know we got a lot of important things to talk about. We'll get to it. First game on the slate is home against Tampa Bay, which we lost 5-2. Goal scorers for Tampa Bay were Sergachev, Killorn, Miller, Gourde, McDonough. The goal scorers for Philadelphia, Oscar Lindblom and Travis Konecny. Hart, 6 saves on 9 shots. Elliott came in relief, made 22 saves on 23 shots. So thoughts on that game, boys?
The Lightning severely outclass us, and it's embarrassing.
Yeah, that was rough.
They literally have no weakness. They're very depth team.
It's disgusting. They are probably one of the best teams, if not the best team, over the past like decade or two.
Yeah, they're it's on scary. Pace to finish like third all time in most points in a season.
Oh yeah,
which is just ridiculous in today's NHL.
Jim Jackson was just spitting out stats about, oh, the fourth best. They could go down for the fourth best power play in history. And I'm like, oh, gosh.
No, the best power play in history.
Oh, was it the best?
It's the best power play in history. Yeah. So
wouldn't be surprised if that was the fourth best team, like, overall in history. Yeah, they
it was stat after
we
stat.
We put them on 4 power plays. Now, they only scored once, but they did score or have 4 power plays. So good
I
job,
think that
Flyers, giving the best power play in the league. Power plays.
Yeah, their whole team just complements each other so well.
Yeah.
Like they all play the same style and they're all good at playing that style. That quick passing cycle game, it's intense to watch. It's so much fun to watch.
I mean, Nikita Kucherov, 101 points.
Yeah.
Like that's just insane.
And I think that game actually didn't we keep him off the scoreboard?
I think he was quiet that game. At least scoreboard wise.
He didn't have any points that game.
Yeah. Which is impressive that when a night where their biggest scorer doesn't even score, they can still put up 5 goals.
And he is on pace for 131 points this season. That's
nuts.
Terrifying. Terrifying. Good.
I wasn't very surprised about that game.
No.
I had high hopes.
I think I was surprised on how quickly Elliott was in and out.
You mean Hart?
Hart, sorry. Elliott's the first name on my list that I'm looking at. But yeah, Hart.
yeah, he... He that didn't have a great game. I mean,
they weren't all his fault, all three of them.
Yeah, no, for sure. And I mean, that's why I definitely disagreed when he got to start the next game. Considering
I agree with you there. I didn't think he was going to get to start the next games, considering that the stadium series was on Sunday or Saturday. The game after.
I think they should have sat him against Montreal, let him collect himself, and then I mean everything worked out. But
right, we'll get
you know
that, yeah.
You know, in hindsight, it's easy to say one thing, like Elliott, you know, should have started Saturday. But before going into that, everybody wanted Hart. And it really should have been Hart, but I guess
we'll
get to that.
We'll get to that in a second. Minnesota. We move on to Montreal. In Montreal, we take a 5-1 loss. Brendan Gallagher, his first career hat trick. Kotkaniemi and Tatar, the goal scorers for Montreal. Raffle, the lone goal scorer for Philadelphia. Hart, again, took the start. 6 saves on 9 shots. Elliott, 29 saves on 31 shots in relief. Hart was reportedly hurt in practice, or the pregame.
Reportedly.
I'm just all
was
over the
Was there a cat involved,
thing.
Or
yes.
What?
he was reportedly hurt in practice and didn't tell the team until, I think, Saturday morning. When that
apparently, I mean, I'm still up for the conspiracy that they said that just so he
They're
wouldn't
not
start
allowed to
Saturday.
Do that. They're not allowed to do that.
Yeah, but what if he just goes up and is like, yeah, my leg hurts. Or they say, Carter, your leg hurts, right? Like, oh, I guess.
Yeah, no, they're not allowed to do that. I'm pretty sure it's against the CBA. So,
yeah.
I would like to point out, real quick, That in both those two games, first two games we talked about, Gostisbehere's back up over 22 minutes a game for those. So I guess he's out of the doghouse for the time being.
I mean, he's been playing well recently too.
Yeah.
I mean, what was it, Thursday? I mean, that game, I think Thursday's game was more embarrassing than the Lightning's game because
Yeah.
the Lightning are a good team, and there were stretches during that game where the Flyers actually kind of looked competent, like in the second period.
Yeah, the second period, I felt like we were with them, maybe not outplaying them, but we were matching.
Yeah, and the Canadians, I just think they walked, the Canadians walked all over us the whole game.
Yeah, 40 shots to 30. Oddly enough, we didn't give them a power play. That was interesting. We did have three power plays of our own, didn't score. So interesting to say the least about that game. The Lightning, the Canadians are
Canadians.
fighting for a playoff spot as well. I believe they're in the
That
playoffs as it
might have
stands.
been a factor into it
Yeah,
as well.
they're the
You
first
know,
wild
they
card
have to
team,
keep
and
playing.
I believe they were at that time as well, the first wild card team as well. Yeah, because Buffalo would be the next closest to them in the division. And they're 7 points behind Toronto. So yeah, so they're fighting to stay in the wild card. Flyers obviously trying to play catch up. Still got a lot of work to do.
Yeah, rip to whoever has to be wild card two, because that's going to be a tough
Yeah,
playoff
right now, as we
matchup.
sit, it's
Can you
Carolina.
imagine though? Can you imagine though if like, let's say it's Carolina and they
Carolina
take
comes
out
in and
Tampa,
takes out Tampa in the first round.
that would be the biggest scam in NHL history.
Oh man. To give you an idea of how good Tampa Bay is doing right now, listeners, they've got 100 points. The next closest team in the NHL has 85 points, and it's Calgary.
That's wild.
The differential between goals and goals against is what stands out to me.
Plus 82.
That just shows how well they're playing.
They are on
They're
a
top.
9-game win streak, and they're 9-0-1 in their last 10.
Yeah, like in recent years when you're, I mean, usually it's been the Washington Capitals that end up on top of, you know, the league. But even they'll have stretches like where they don't play as well. It's like this whole year, Tampa, I don't think I've ever seen them hit a stretch where they've lost like more than a game or two in a row.
Well, considering they lost 11 games in regulation all year and
Yeah,
four in overtime.
there's not
it's
many
kind of,
losing streaks with that.
yeah, it's unprecedented.
It's crazy. They are, it's not even close that they're the best team in the league and one of the best teams in history.
Actually, now that I think about it, if the Flyers do make the playoffs, it'll be most likely wild card two.
Yeah.
No, it 100% will be wild card too. Well, not
And
necessarily. Yeah, not necessarily.
we'll be up against
Because,
Tampa. That's, oh man, that's gonna be embarrassing.
oh man, there are so many teams right here.
I almost rather would just start going in the other way and just start tanking again.
Yeah, you got to take that long shot at Jack Hughes.
Yeah.
You know,
Or any of the top three picks, really.
is it Jack Hughes, Cop? I don't know the other guy's name. It's like
It's like
I'm not familiar with
Kappa,
the other
Kappa
two.
or
It's
something.
like
I don't know.
Kappa, Kappa. I don't know.
Joe says it right every time. It's
Comma, comma,
impressive.
comma, 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 chameleon. Let's go with that.
But he's a good winger. He'd be good for the team.
Yeah. So after the Montreal game, we go to the big stadium series game, the outdoor game. Me and Kush were both at this game. Paulie, unfortunately, was not because he was in Virginia, because he lives in Virginia.
I was
But
parked in front of my TV the
what
whole time.
a game.
Rest in peace.
What a game. First, it started off with Gritty coming in from the literal roof. Fantastic. Talk about Gritty for a second before we get to the actual game. He streaked during the game. Highlight of the game, easily.
That was great
That was
because there
amazing.
was an account putting music over him streaking,
I
and
know.
it's so good.
It's just Gritty streaking. At Gritty streaking. Check it out. It's funny videos. So yeah, the Flyers would win this game in overtime, 4-3 after overcoming a 3-1 deficit. Pittsburgh goal scorers were Crosby, Justin Schultz, and Evgeny Malkin. Philadelphia goal scorers Couturier, JVR, Voracek with the tying goal with 20 seconds left, and Claude Giroux, the overtime winner. Brian Elliott, 40 saves on 43 shots. And I would like to say something real quick.
Oh,
Is I may
I can
not have
sense this
liked
coming.
the decision to start Elliott over Hart. I understood it because of the two bad games that Hart was coming off of, but I didn't like it. But dear God, the stuff that I heard of that game about Brian Elliott. I'm not even talking about like in our friend group bashing him. There's a guy literally sitting behind me, goes, I hate Brian Elliott so much I wish somebody would murder his family. And that is just
Oh my
ridiculous.
God.
It is just ridiculous. And he's like, he's my least favorite Flyers goaltender of all time. As he's standing on his head in the first period, I mind. Like, he's complaining about the Crosby goal, which was a turnover in front of him that led to a breakaway. Like, what? How is that Brian Elliott's fault? He stood on his head. The guy made 40 saves.
I gotta say,
at
he
the
did
time,
play...
it wasn't 40, though.
No, at the time, we were outshot 18-7 in the first period.
Yeah,
and
that
we
first
were
period was
one.
Rough. And I was actually concerned that that's how the whole game was gonna be, because that first period was rough, except for that Couturier goal. That entire first period, the Flyers got dominated.
Yeah.
And I was like, crap. I'm here, spent all that money to watch Flyers get dominated. They did come back in the second, though, and put up a fight, even though they ended up getting outscored, until the last 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, and that was interesting, the way, like, everything kind of went. Like, the Malkin goal was so deflating, because it was that one-timer hit off the glove, bounced straight up in the air.
That's when I was
rolled, and I was like,
That's when I was insanely pissed.
That just felt like the dagger.
Because I felt like that was going to be the game-winning goal when that happened, even though it put them up 3-1. But I was like, the Flyers are going to get one back, and the game's going to end 3-2. And that goal, where it hits off his glove, pops over him, and ends in the net, that's going to be the game-winning goal of this stadium series.
Yeah, that was Flyers-esque hockey from like the very beginning of the year. Because I remember sitting at the couch, you just watching the game, and there would be some pushback. Like, we were always playing down, and there'd be pushback, and then here comes a goal that hits the goalie's glove and goes straight up in the air, lands behind him. If this wasn't the Stadium Series game, my finger was going right on the power button to turn off the TV. But I was like, nope, I have to keep going. It's the Stadium Series. I'm all dressed up, but...
That's
like the kind of goals that you'd like, yeah, like Paulie said, that would happen at the beginning of the year. That would totally deflate the team.
That was the moment where, I don't know, a quarter of the stadium left. After it was.
Yeah, people were leaving.
Yeah,
like
a lot of people left after that. And yeah.
Well, it was also weather conditions too. Had to.
It was pretty bad out there. In the third, like my glasses, I need windshield wipers. Now, Ryan, did you have any Penguins fans near you?
I did.
I had an entire row in front of me. And
the kid right next to me in the handicap section, it was him and his parents, and he actually broke his ankle playing hockey. It was weird,
so
but they're from Pittsburgh.
So there was this one guy. It was during the second intermission, and what was the Glorious Sons were performing? I think they were. And
yeah,
they
much
like,
better than the first intermission.
Nah, first intermission was
absolutely.
Keith Urban put on a show.
No,
okay.
No.
I don't even know who
nobody
the Glorious
was
Sons
paying
were.
Attention.
Who was the Glorious Sons?
I don't know, but they were much better than Keith Urban.
Nah, you're just lying. Anyway, this guy was dancing a little bit, right? And he was just like standing up by the railing. He was dancing with a beer, and he was a Penguins fan. And everybody knew he was a Penguins fan because, you know, he's wearing his Penguins garb. And this one drunk Flyers fan looks at him, flips him off, and he flips him off back. And this other guy down, like, to my right in our row did not see the Flyers fan flip him off first, lost his shit. It was bad. Like, he was, like, yelling at this dude. It was bad. People were throwing food at the Penguins fan. Like, it was really bad. After the third goal,
my God.
Like, there were people with terrible towels there because Pittsburgh.
Uh-huh.
And,
yeah.
Like, somebody actually had, like, a full terrible towel, like, blanket type thing. And an old Flyers fan walks up and rips it off the person and starts trying to run down the stairs with it. What is the point? What is the point?
On the way out, I saw a Penguins fan and a Flyers fan like almost get into a fist fight. Their respective friends had to break them up. It was funny. I just rolled on by in my scooter. I'm like,
scooting on by. So yeah, going into this after the third goal. Now I want to point out the Flyers did not give up a power play. With 6 penalty minutes, mind you, they did not give up a power play because
everything washed out.
Single time, it was a washout. And the big one, came after that third goal, and it was Wayne Simmons. No, it wasn't Wayne Simmons. Robert Hag getting tangled up with Evgeny Malkin. That's a trade-off the Flyers will take every single day of the week. Led to a 4-on-4, and then was it Provorov that got slashed or Konechny that got slashed?
It was Myers.
Felipe Myers got slashed, moving on in the 4-on-4. Led to a power play, led to the pull of the goalie. So it was a 5-on-3 power play. JVR would score after a mad scramble in front. Challenged for goalie interference. And
I think that was just for a timeout type thing.
Yeah, because like Matt Murray was legitimately
hanging on to
JVR's leg.
Yeah,
and I'm sitting in the middle of the two buddies I went with, and they kind of look at each other and go, "I mean, if it's no goal, we're leaving, right?" And I'm like, "Huh?" Goal counts, and then there's just like back and forth, like just kind of like dumps. Like the Flyers iced the puck at one point somehow, late in the game, led to a face-off.
Pull Elliot back in.
Elliot. Followed him back up the rink. They get a face-off in the offensive zone draw, and Voracek Pat Kane'd it, essentially.
That was weird when that happened. Because, like, when that JVR goal happened, I watched it, I saw it, and I was like, okay, told you, this is the second goal. The game ends 3-2. And then it was like after Couturier won that face-off with 20 seconds left, and I, like, looked down for a second, and then all of a sudden I hear, like, the stadium, like, erupt, and I look up, I'm like, what the fuck just happened? I watched the replay, I was like, no way did that go in. I was like, that's totally, like, I guess, like, karma making up for the one that went off Brian Elliott name, like, because that was just as bad.
And then we go to overtime, and Brian Elliott made three huge saves. The big one came off a Kessel semi-break. He made a big save, ate the rebound. And then Mr. Claude Giroux with this
G doing G stuff.
Almost identical move to game 6 in the 2012 playoffs when he opened the game against the Penguins with the best in the world quote by Laviolette. Makes the move to the inside. Instead of roofing it, though, put it between the 5-hole, and Matt Murray lost that game. Cuskell for the win, and that stadium went nuts. And, it was awesome. That was probably the second most fun I've ever had at a Flyers game.
And it happened in
the last 5 minutes of regulation.
The atmosphere alone was great. Like, even if they ended up losing that game, I still had a great time the whole day. I was at their tailgating, and it was a lot of fun. But just the fact that they were able to, like, pull off that kind of win. Again, they could lose every game for the rest of the year because they're not doing much in the playoffs. And, we know that, but it was a lot of fun just to watch that outdoor game and for them to win that. That just
and then
even
like,
better.
There was a Fly Eagles fly. Flyers. Jesus, words are hard right now. Okay, the Eagles fight song. Before the Flyers' second goal, and it was loud even at like 3/4 stadium. If that, so that was cool. A legend from each, I shouldn't say legend because they had Boban and Tobias Harris from the Sixers, so new blood there. But they had like J-Roll there, and he got a big pop. It was really great, really good atmosphere. Had a lot of fun. 10 out of 10 would do it again. And we beat the Penguins on top of that, so it was great. Anything else to add for that?
Well, a few things. Okay. Giroux's goal was so good. When he made that stutter move up in across the middle, it fooled everybody. And for whatever reason, the two defensemen just let him – they gave him the space, and he used that space. And I want to say that was a factor, and that was Wayne Simmons taking out Dubalin?
Yeah.
On that one hit, Dubalin left with probably concussion protocol, and then Letang – got he had like a neck injury he must have tweaked something
that was kind of funny because that was like after he because Letang what went after Simmons and then Ghost tackled Letang
there's a guy at my work that he was a Penguins fan and he only comes in occasionally so I kind of shouted out across the shop, hey, how'd you like that game? And he's like, we gave you a present. And I'm like, no, Matt Murray gave us a present. How do you let those two goals in? And he goes on his typical Pittsburgh rant where he, like, oh, we should never have gotten rid of Fleury. I've always said it. I said, I'm sure you were saying that when Murray won you back-to-back cups. I'm sure that's what you were saying.
Yeah, the amount of times that Penguins that I see Penguins fans on Twitter complain about how it should have been Fleury that stayed over Murray is astronomical. Like, it's insane.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Fleury's numbers are great, and, you know, Fleury has always been a killer for us. Almost always. There was a couple series where we really made his GAA skyrocket, but...
Even if Matt Murray turned out to be the worst goalie in the league after Vegas had taken Fleury, they still made the right move because Murray just won them back-to-back cups and had two good seasons after, like, before that. In Pittsburgh, though, also takes account for them having atrocious defense. And it just got worse this, you know, past trade deadline. It's impressive how bad their defense is.
Right. Well, they only had four defensemen playing the rest of the Stadium Series game, and that was very early on. And I think that's why Giroux was able to get that much space, because they had to have been tired.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it was extensive.
And it was one of their best defensemen that left, too, in Letang.
Yeah, like. Letang, offense and defensively. Yeah, but even the ice conditions, I can only imagine, you know, what your strides, the amount of, you know, energy you have to exert for a normal stride on normal rink. Now you have to do just as much on the slosh, slush, and rain, chopped up ice outdoors. I'm sure they were winded.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Yeah, that ice was looked really bad from up where I was the entire game. It looked really bad. But yeah, I think we've covered that pretty well. It's got a couple more things to go over real quick before we move on to the trade deadline. Goal leaders for the Flyers right now, Couturier with 25, Giroux with 18, Konechny with 18. Assists, Giroux with 45, Voracek with 37, Couturier with 33. Points, Giroux with 63. Wow, yeah, good job, Giroux. Couturier with 58 and Voracek with 53. Carter Hart to this point is 13-8-1 with a .279 goals against average and a .917 save percentage. Elliott, because he's back into the mix, pretty reliably now. 7-7, no overtime losses. Thought that was interesting. .254 goals against average and a .917 save percentage. So pretty much on par with each other. The Flyers right now are 29-26-7 with 65 points. Currently 7 points out of the second wild card spot behind Carolina. Also 7 points behind Pittsburgh, who are just outside the wild card. They lose the tiebreaker to Carolina right now.
Hey, Giroux.
Yeah.
What's Cam Talbot's Flyers stats? I'm curious.
He has not made an appearance as of yet.
Is he dead?
It's possible he's also backing up again tonight to Brian Elliott against who the hell do we play tonight?
Buffalo.
Right.
That's gonna be tough. Buffalo's, they're fighting for a spot. I mean, yeah, they're right ahead of us, but
they're
still,
only 1 point ahead of us specifically.
We could jump in the standings. I'm just curious as to where. I mean, maybe they. I guess maybe Scott Gordon feels like Elliott gives us a better chance right now, and that's why we haven't seen
Cam Talbot. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but I'm just really curious as to what, like, when do they plan on playing Talbot? Because I'm assuming they want to get him a look before the end of the season. Because going into next season, you have to make the decision. All right, who's going to be your second goalie? Like, is it going to be Talbot? Good God, is it going to be Elliott? Like,
nah, it's not going to be Elliott.
I don't think it is either, but like...
Well, how many... I know we're 60 games in the season, but what is our limit on goalies?
Well, once...
Because we've seen 7 for us this season.
Once Cam Talbot plays, we'll have set an NHL record of 8 goalies.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy, crazy.
It is. That's shows what kind of struggle it's been.
But it's funny because this is the best I've felt about our goaltending situation in years because Hart has been playing. And, you know, minus last week, he's been playing pretty well.
Yep.
Who's the minors goalie right now?
Lamar.
I guess ideally we want Hart and Talbot.
It's Lyman
McKenna. Talbot turns out okay, for us on as a backup or even a split time, kind of maybe do something like the Islanders are doing right now. But, you know, ideally Hart and Talbot. What's the minors again?
So it's going to be Lyon
and McKenna.
Yeah, okay. But McKenna's not going to be here next season.
Right, what's I'm saying. Who's the next goalie in line for the Phantoms?
Probably Sandstrom. I feel like he'll come over from playing in like a Europe league or European league right now. Maybe it's, I don't know if it's a Swedish league or a European league, but he's it's doing really good
Swedish,
over there.
It's the Swedish league.
Swedish league. So yeah, he's it'll probably be him playing for the Phantoms next season, and he could be like a guy that like is he's apparently very highly rated for goalie prospects. So he could be, you know, if Hart really does pan out to be the Flyers' future net, Sandstrom in a couple years could be like a very good trade bait option.
Yep.
That's a scary thought. Man,
yeah,
it would be so nice to have a 15-year steady goalie.
Yeah.
Like the Rangers have not had to really worry about goaltending in years.
No. And we talked about this, I think the last time we did a podcast, but like it wouldn't, like going forward, the Flyers should still target goalies in the draft. They should make it a point to draft at least one goalie every year, because you can always use them as your cost-controlled backup goalies once Hart takes the starter role fully over. You could use them as backup goalies, and then if they pan out that they could be starters, you trade them.
Yep.
All right. Smart. I like that.
Yep. So, that Stadium Series game was the last game in a Flyers sweater for Wayne Simmonds, because at the trade deadline, we traded him away to Nashville for Ryan Hartman and a conditional fourth-round pick that becomes a third-round pick if Nashville wins a playoff series in the playoffs in 2020, that is. So, yeah, Wayne Simmonds. Wayne wins
a playoff series this year, but the pick is for 2020.
That's correct.
Right.
very sad to see Wayne Simmonds go. He was a hell of a hockey player. Real quick, before we get to our thoughts on this and some stats on him, Devin, since he couldn't be with us, sent us an email with his thoughts on it. And honestly, it's a little bit of a hot take with this. And he said, "Yo, ooh, do you think we'll even notice he's gone? Number 17 represents everything I love about hockey, is all the intangibles while also having the tangibles. He plays with emotion, even if that means taking a dumb penalty. Also, he's a nice guy. However, over the last couple years...
Oh, the nice guy thing.
Over the last couple years, he hasn't been the best version of himself. So that's why I'm asking, are the Flyers really worse than they were a couple of days ago? I don't really know. Going to miss Wayne. He was awesome. And I hope he ends up back in the orange and black before he retires. He was fun to watch, and they don't make players like that too much these days. Okay, bye." So, yeah, an interesting take, and I think... Do you guys have thoughts on what he thinks about that?
Yeah, so I think where you'll probably miss him most, or like where you notice he won't be around, is when you see the players get into those scrums around the net, and they start really pushing and shoving each other. Maybe not fight, but I think that's where you'll notice the most where he's gone this season.
Yeah.
I think play on the ice-wise, it's like Devin said, he hasn't been the best version of himself the past 2 years. And I think, you know, and even with Ryan Hartman, I think he plays just as well at even strength as Wayne Simmonds, even better. He's got better possession stats. So I don't think, at least on the ice, that you'll notice Wayne Simmonds is gone too much. I don't want to say that the Flyers would necessarily be better without him, because I think he does bring a lot to that locker room that – it could potentially hurt some of the other players in the meantime. But I think that at least in theory, they shouldn't be any worse or shouldn't be any worse without him.
Yeah.
I agree.
I agree.
I'm with you on that.
I think it basically stays the same. The only thing you get out of the Hartman trade is he's 24. You know, he's got more time to grow than you would get out of Simmonds.
And essentially,
you lose
too,
a little bit of leadership and, you know, character in the locker room. You know, but also at the same note, someone you lose that player, and someone needs to fill that void. So someone else needs to step up, and maybe not take on the full role of Simmons, but another leader, you know, because they're obviously Philly fans just want everybody to be a leader.
Well, I guarantee you, McDonald. I was going to say, I guarantee you that Simmons A is going to full time to Andrew McDonald because him and Couturier were splitting the A, and now it's going to be Couturier and McDonald. Guarantee. 100% that's what's happening.
So, Wayne Simmons was acquired on June 23rd, 2011. For Mike Richards, we also got Braden Shen in that trade and Jordan Wheel.
No, that was
the Cavier trade. Yeah. Anyways, in his time with the Flyers, he scored 203 goals, which ranks 14th all time on the Flyers. 175 assists, which ranks 29th. 378 points, which ranks 22nd. In 584 games played, which ranks 23rd all-time of the Flyers, with 784 penalty minutes, which is 19th all-time. Everybody likes to talk about penalty minutes here in Philadelphia, so I had to. but yeah, definitely one of the most memorable Flyers of this generation. He will be missed. Hopefully one day he comes back to the orange and black to retire.
I think one of the reasons why he was so memorable in Philly and why he stuck so well here is because Philly does tend to overvalue a lot of those intangibles, and they can make guys who aren't necessarily great players. Like, one example I'll use, who I actually really liked because of all those intangibles, but statistically he wasn't that good of a player, was Ryan White. So Philly tends to overvalue those intangibles, but with Wayne Simmons, he was actually a good player statistically, and he had all those intangibles. And I think that's why pretty much every Philly fan liked him, because he had the best of both worlds. Pretty much, he had the intangibles and he had the skill. He was a good he produced on the power play. He was, for a while, you know, since I think it was 2013 to now, he has the second most power play goals. Second to Alex Ovechkin.
So. Yeah, Ovi's killing that. But
yeah, but I mean, you know, Wayne Simmons provided a lot for the Flyers. And
just off the stat sheet stuff too. Teams noticed him. Had to worry about him. You know, just in front of the net presence. Just other teams had to adjust their game plan. Hey, just keep in mind, Simmer's going to be in front. He's going to be rough. You know what I mean? Like coaches had to reiterate to their defenseman's head. He's going to want you to hit him.
It's not like Simmons was basically like. Because I wouldn't call him an enforcer, because fighting in the NHL has generally gone down for the past couple years. But he, I think he only had like two or three fights this year. But he was rough around the net.
He was like the new age enforcer.
Exactly.
He, in the 8 years that he's been here, so since 2011, his 203 goals lead all Flyers players over that time. Along with 91 power play goals and a big one, 34 game winning goals. He's got the most game winning goals over that time as a Flyer. And penalty minutes too, 784.
Who's second?
Uh huh. That's who totally on this article. Second? No, and what, game winning goals?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to take a guess and say it's probably Drew.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's Drew, but I don't know for sure.
Because just having little.
Wait, how many did Simmons have?
He had 34.
Oh, game winning. Okay, yeah. Never mind. Crap, I just lost what I was going to say. Never mind, yes. Game winning goals. Wayne Simmons, definitely my favorite one was the one against the Sharks during the 50th anniversary. I was there for that game. It was really cool. Mm. Just because, it was actually an underrated skill of Wayne Simmons, but he was actually good on the breakaways.
Yeah, he was.
It was weird, because you don't really see him as, a player as, like a dangler or, somebody who would be good on breakaways, but he knew where to put the puck. He just necessarily didn't have to make a lot of moves. On that particular breakaway with because I just rewatched it today, he came in, and when he goes to make the move, I think it was on Dell, he literally doesn't touch the puck. He just waves his stick over the puck and then goes backhand forehand and shoves it through his pad. It was great.
Yeah, he was very special. And yes, it is Claude Giroux behind him at 31 over
Thank
that
you.
same span.
I was, where is Mike Knuble? Because that's what
It's
I was
no.
thinking
No,
of.
no, no. It's over the span that he's been here since 2011, 2000.
Oh,
Yeah.
okay.
Not
So
all
Mike
time.
Knuble has
I
zero.
thought it was like all time. I'm
No,
like,
no, no. No. That's over, specifically over that time.
gotcha.
Yeah. He's gonna be missed. Hopefully he goes to Nashville and raises that very nice thing.
I want to
Yeah.
talk about that real quick.
Yeah.
So I watched a couple of Nashville's kind of videos. I watched them greet. There's a video on NHL.com that everyone's greeting and meeting Simmons. And they just kind of talk to him. Lavi hugs him out. You know, I hope he whispered something about jam in his ear.
Time to jam.
Also, glad to have the jam back.
Yeah, that was
They
great.
interviewed the players and just kind of, you know, talked to him. And they're asking, what do you think Simmons brings? And the most excited player on the Preds right now, PK Subban.
Yeah,
I love it.
that's awesome.
They
Love it.
he loves Simmons. You know, they because they all Nashville also acquired Michael Granlund, and they kind of the interviewers they bundled the question together, and like they said, oh yeah, Granlund's good and all, but Simmons, you know, he does everything well. Like PK loves him, and I'm actually really excited to see them two out on the ice.
Well, it was like a couple years ago when PK was in Montreal and he was talking to Pacioretty, I think it was, about they were talking about some guy on Boston who was like who was real gritty, and Pacioretty was asking if he was tough, and he's like, yeah, he's tough, but he's not. And PK
Simmons
goes, yeah,
tough.
he's tough, but he's not Wayne Simmons tough. And Pacioretty's like, so you think I can fight Wayne Simmons? And PK's like, no, you cannot fight Wayne Simmons.
That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely a lot of positive, you know, notes from the players. You know, they recognize Simmons and know what he brings. And, you
Yeah,
know,
and
he's that out of all the teams, honestly, I was rooting for Nashville to get him because they have a, I really like Nashville and been watching a lot of them this year.
yeah, they're a fun team, and I'm glad he went there because I could have sworn he was going to end up in Boston, and I would seriously would have hated that. But
I think
it was
everybody
in
would have hated that.
Nashville. I could root for Nashville. I like Nashville's team. I've always been a fan of their defensive core, you know, Ryan Ellis, PK Subban, Roman Josi.
Roman Yost.
I think
And
he's, you know, and honestly, for next year when he signs his extension, I kind of hope, you know, if I don't think it'll be the Flyers, and I don't think the Flyers can afford it. So I kind of hope it is Nashville, and he stays with that team.
I would be okay if the Flyers brought him back as like a rental one. Like when we are definitely in a playoff position and we are definitely a contender and we want to add
When he's
that kind of depth.
34, you know.
Yeah, you know,
It'll be
just
tough though because you could tell he's declining right now, and he's only what, 31, I think, maybe not even. Maybe he's 32.
I think
He's
he's 30.
He's 31.
31, okay. Yeah, so he's declining now. I think when he signs his extension, I don't know how many years he'll get because I think GMs are starting to realize that he's not going to be a player that lasts.
He is
You know.
30. He will be 31 on August 26th.
Yeah, so I don't. I
Thank
think
you.
GMs are going to realize that he's not going to last until he's 38 years old. So I think at the most he gets like a 4-year extension. Money wise, I can see him getting up to. Maybe not from Nashville, but I can see him getting up to 6.5 mil, which if I were the Flyers, I wouldn't pay that for him, but I can see him getting up to that on another team in free agency.
Yeah.
The trade made sense, you know,
Oh yeah,
just
absolutely.
money, and you know, we have a lot of contracts coming up that are no longer rookie contracts. And you know,
Yeah,
I get we have to
the
think about the
most,
future, but it just sucks now that we lose
yeah, the most I'd
Simmons.
pay for Wayne Simmons in UFA, I'd probably go 4-year term, and the absolute most I'd give him is like 4 mil, but that's basically his contract now. So he'll want a raise from that.
Yeah, and he's gonna get a raise. He'll get
Yeah,
a raise.
he
So
deserves. Yeah.
let's shift our focus. Let's talk about what the Flyers got in return. And that's Ryan Hartman. He has played 226 games in the NHL, 40 goals, 43 assists, good for 83 points. This year, he's 10 and 10 for 20 points, 10 goals, 10 assists in 64 games. He played all 64 games for Nashville so far this season. So it's gonna be interesting.
Yeah, I think it's more of a system with him. You know, he's situational. He's scored a lot of dazzle goals, but also timely goals.
Yeah.
Timely goals is what I'm seeing and hearing.
Yeah, and then he is in the last year of his contract, so he's an RFA at the end of the year. So the Flyers will have to at least put a qualifying offer.
I think they will, too. Yeah. I think because I think he'll be a relatively cheap player, too, because he's been with, what,
two teams?
Chicago drafted him.
Yeah, so, well, this will be his third team then, so he's, you know. Yeah,
2 years in a row he was traded at a deadline.
Yeah, the thing that concerns me the most is that he said he's glad that he's getting a fresh start with a new team, but you know he's playing on Nashville. Nashville was one of the best teams, or is one of the best teams in the league,
well,
and now he's going to a worse team.
He was relegated to the third line where he didn't like playing with Nick Bonino, so.
I guess, but that's where he's going to be playing now, and
yeah, but it's not Nick Bonino.
True. True.
He'll have who will he have on third line?
Who knows? The Flyers change it every week.
Who knows? Yeah, this shuffles up, but generally,
it could be Nolan Patrick. They might try him out with Patrick.
I don't know. Is he playing tonight?
Yeah, he is. I guess we'll find out
today.
In 10 minutes.
He doesn't sound very excited at all because I watched his little interview and he was just very dull. Like I think
Hartman.
He was still in shock. Yeah, Hartman was just kind of just like, we'll see, and, you know, try to mold in, and, you know, he knows there's no way you're filling Simmons' shoes, but
no.
I don't see.
We'll see. We got younger. We got younger, and.
Yeah, I don't see Scott Gordon as a coach that generally excites players.
So, there's something interesting. He will play tonight. I don't have the line rushes, but the Flyers are going with seven defensemen again.
Oh, I saw that earlier, too, so it's weird, but basically, I think Scott Gordon is just another Dave Hakstol with better goaltending, is what I'm seeing here. And it's scary, because the Flyers' possession stats, and it hasn't been highlighted because they've been winning, but the Flyers' possession stats are actually worse under Scott Gordon. Like, for this year, because they're only taking data from this, they only took the article I read only took data from this year. So for the first half of the Flyers on that disgusting losing, you know, bonanza, they had better possession stats than they do now that they're winning. And I think it all comes down to goaltending. And we all know that Dave Hakstol was a bad coach, so I don't think Scott Gordon's much better. And it's weird because about a week or two ago, I was saying that, you know, if we can't get Joel Quenneville, minus we'll just stick with Scott Gordon, but I don't know.
I had that kind of same thought today. Just, you know, if we don't get Quenneville, do we stick with Gordon? Because is there anyone else really out there?
And that's the thing with NHL coaches, except for the handful that are really good, the rest of them can kind of all be bundled in, like, the same...
Subpar.
Yeah, like, they're all mediocre, and there's a couple of coaches that are just extremely well. And yeah, you can sometimes match a mediocre coach with the right team and then they become better, but I think that's really hard to do, and I think the Flyers just need to go out and get an established coach who's really good, you know, pretty much Quenneville.
So it looks like the Flyers
Schwartz will
rushes.
Be available if Columbus loses this year.
The interesting thing about the line rushes tonight, like I said, we're going with seven defensemen, so I'm assuming Morin will be the odd man out because we have eight defensemen on our roster right now.
Yeah.
Drew, Patrick, Konechny on the top line, Lindblom, Couturier, Voracek, JVR, Lawton, Raffle, and then Hartman and Knight.
Nice.
Or not? Yeah, Knight, right? 10?
Corbin Knight.
Yeah, Corbin Knight's 10. Yeah. So, that's interesting.
Wait, what did you say the so the first one was Giroux,
Patrick.
Oh, Patrick?
Yeah.
He's centering Giroux.
Yes.
Okay. I thought they. Never mind. I thought Giroux, for some reason, I thought Giroux was centering that line.
So let's let's quickly move on here. Let's talk about around the league the trades for the trade deadline. Let's just first get these guys out of the way, because apparently they want people to come to Ohio, and that's the Blue Jackets, because they went and they're going all in. They said, we're not going to get rid of Panarin. We're not going to get rid of Bob. We're just going to bring everybody in here. So first thing they do is they go get Matt Duchene. And then the next day, he said, you know what, Ottawa, we're not done with you. They're going to get Ryan Dezingle and trade Anthony Duclair. They also, in that Duchene trade, they sent away two first-round picks in 2019 and in 2020. Their conditionals, they're all random conditions. I'm not going over them because it's not important. And two mid-range prospects at best for Duchene. Dezingle and a seventh for Duclair and 2 seconds. From Ottawa. And then yesterday at the trade deadline, they went and got Keith Kincaid for a fifth-round pick from the Devils and Adam McQuaid from the Rangers, just a bottom-six defenseman, but he gets the job done. Or bottom-six, that works. And then, so they went out and said, we're going all in. Let's see what we can do.
This is it's weird because – normally, if a team went all in like this, and it's a team like Columbus who are kind of middling, I'd probably say it's a dumb move, especially when you don't know if your free agents, top free agents are going to come back. And now they got a couple of those guys because Matthew Shane's going to be UFA, and Panarin's going to be UFA, along with Bobrowski. So now you have three guys that are all going to be UFAs. However, I think Columbus, if I was a Columbus fan, I don't know, I'd be so sick and tired of them middling as much as they are. And I think that's where their GM was at too.
Yep.
That they just want to make a deep playoff push. I don't even know, like, obviously they want to win the cup, but I just think at this point they want to draw more attention to their team. And from that standpoint, it was actually a pretty good move to go all in. And at this trade deadline, that's what they should have done. It's either they should have went all in or they should have went all in on selling. And so they did. They did, you know, they went in all in on building their team to make a deep playoff push, which it's better than doing nothing. Because if they did nothing, they probably would have got booted first round, lose Panarin and Bobrowski,
so here,
and then that's
here
it.
Here are their free agents at the end of the season. Panarin,
UFAs.
Duchene, well, I'm saying them all too are. Well, these are all UFAs. The Zingle, McQuaid, Bobrowski, and Kincaid are all UFAs. The RFAs are Dubois. Wait, not Dubois. Sorry, Robinson, because that was just me hovering over there. Two guys I don't even know. Werenski, Scott Harrington, and Yunus Korpisalo. So they've got a lot of things. And technically Ryan Murray as well, who's on IR right now.
The only UFAs that I'd really, you know, mainly care about are Bobrowski, Panarin, and Matt Duchene. I think Duchene stays, I think so, but it definitely is looking like Panarin and Bobrowski are. I think they already have one foot out the door.
I think they were pretty much putting it out there that they don't want to come back.
Yeah, and the Flyers, they absolutely need to go all in on Panarin this offseason. They have to. They at least have to show. They at least have to show the fan base that they're willing to go out and get a top winger like Panarin immediately. If they go after him, they don't get him. That's one thing, and at least they're showing their fans that they want to acquire top players. But if they don't do anything, that's like a middle finger to the fan base.
Yeah, but it's just interesting that everybody's like, all right, they're gonna trade Panarin and Bob and see what they get, and they said no. This is it.
Yeah. I think all the way up to the trade deadline, I was saying, yep, they're selling them. It's going to be crazy wherever they go to. One team might get that goalie that will win the Stanley Cup for them, that, you know, trade deadline kind of thing, but no.
Yeah, I think because – I mean, I think everybody just had that opinion because that's – if it were any other team, that's what you would rightfully expect any other team to do. But I think Columbus, because not only are they middling this year, but they're pretty much that's their whole identity is just being a middling team. And I think even for half a season or for one playoff series, if they can get out of this middling status, that they can maybe attract other UFAs during the offseason. Maybe not this year, but next year. I think they want to set themselves up as a you know, they want to look like a better team.
Yeah. And moving forward, I think they probably will be. I still think they're at best a second round playoff team, and then they're just done for.
Yeah, I think that this season, I don't know. I mean, they're going all in as best they can. The playoffs are weird. They could make a deep playoff push, and with after these moves, I expect them to at least win one playoff series. Yeah.
So quickly, let's move around. Before the deadline on the 23rd, Dallas traded for Matt Zuccarello, who in his first game in Dallas scores two goals and immediately gets hurt.
Yeah, that was out for a month.
So that's a shame.
That's unfortunate.
That does suck. And then I don't think Dallas kept quiet at trade deadline day too.
They did not make a trade deadline.
Is he a UFA next season, Zuccarello?
I believe so. I think him and Kevin Hayes were both.
He is a UFA.
So we'll see if he ends up re-signing, but that is a tough loss for Dallas because I mean the West is just a big clusterfuck, so I guess they're trying to make a playoff push. But they also realize that their team's not that great outside of like Jamie Benn and Tyler Seguin. So
they've split up that line.
Yeah, and it's tough because now you get a
Benn and Radulov.
Now you get a good player like Zuccarello to add to that.
Right.
Potential, you know, who's help you out not only during the playoffs, but, you know, trying to get into the playoffs, and then you lose that player for a month. So the only real way that you'll get to actually make use of him is if they go ahead
and make it.
Yeah, and right now, the Stars are the first wild card team in the West, and they're a point ahead of Minnesota and Colorado for that. So it's going to be interesting to see if they can pull it off without Matt Zuccarello. So the Sharks, well, they just decide they want to get better and better, and they went out and got Gustav Nyquist for a second and a third Detroit, which is just...
Sharks are sneaky good, like in trades. They're sneaky good.
That's incredible what they just did there.
Yeah, I think they're another like legitimate like contender. Like everybody talks about the West, the two juggernauts being the Jets and the Predators, but I think the Sharks, they could be your stealth team.
Sharks,
I mean,
Calgary's playing really well this year.
Yeah, I think Calgary would probably be your true stealth team because I think the Sharks, when they get into the playoffs and if they start winning series, people are going to realize
you
that
who
damn,
your
they
stealth
are
team
good.
Is? St. Louis, because they're third in the Central, and they're my pick to win a Stanley Cup.
That's just because their one goalie they got better. Once he hits the playoffs, he's going to tank.
Uh-huh. Sure.
Bennington. You know, I say that. I picked him up in my fantasy league, but that's only because he's doing well right now. I've been through so many goalies, and that's how you have to do it, because goalies are weird.
Yeah, in our league, they're really weird. I only have one. It's Marc-Andre Fleury. He's fantastic. Sharks just get better.
I did pick up Bobrovsky today.
That's great.
I've seen that.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
I'm only saying that because Paulie had Bobrovsky.
Because I traded him from Devin.
Yeah, Hart's on IR.
Hey, Paulie, could you do me a favor and just like not set a lineup for like a day? That'd be cool.
Oh, no way.
So, Paulie, what are your thoughts on the Nyquist acquiring for St. Louis or San Jose?
They really didn't have that many pickings. If they really wanted someone from Detroit, there was only a few players that were really worth trading for. And Nyquist, he's going to fit in well, even if they throw him on the third line. I don't know where they plan on sticking him, but they're going to be deep.
Yeah,
I see here that they retained only 30%. Is that what that is?
Detroit retained 30%.
Yep.
So, I mean, I'm not familiar, but how much of the – what's, like, the minimum that you – or the maximum you're allowed 50%. To retain?
50%.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. So
I was about to say, because if you could just go 100%, you could just make
wild.
Some crazy team. Okay.
So they're another team that's kind of like, we're all in this year because Pavelski's a UFA at the end of the year. Drew Thornton's a UFA. Gustav Nyquist is now a UFA. Jonas Donskoy is a UFA. Michael Haley, Eric Karlsson, Tim Heed, who's like an eighth defenseman. And then they've got RFAs and Timo Meier, Kevin LeBanc, and Joachim Ryan as well. So they're another team that's kind of like, we got to do it now.
Yeah, but I honestly think the Sharks will be able to re-sign most of those guys. A lot of players like playing in California. I don't think they'll re-sign Joe Thornton, just because he's older and
Jumbo
he's
39, so
yeah, he takes up a lot of cap space. I think he made what, like $6 or $7 million this year.
Well,
he made $5 million.
$5 million. Okay, so Pavelski, that's a Trump. Yeah, and Pavelski, I think they'll re-sign Pavelski, and I think they're gonna try hard to re-sign Carlson, because why wouldn't they?
Well, Carlson's probably gonna cost him about $10 million.
Yeah, I think they can at least. They'll definitely be able to keep most of their RFAs, at least, like, you know, the good ones like LeBanc.
They really need to keep LeBanc.
Yeah, they'll make an effort to keep him. They'll make an effort to keep Carlson. They'll definitely make an effort to keep Pavelski. And hell, I mean, I don't know what kind of contract Nyquist is going to get, but if he sticks with the team and they're not, and they don't re-sign like somebody like Thornton, maybe they do re-sign Nyquist.
Or maybe the Flyers sign him. Huh?
I mean, that's
we're gonna go through this whole list and everything to end with. Well, maybe the Flyers will sign him.
Flyers do need to make like a. I don't want them to make like a maybe a splash in UFA unless it's.
Oh,
Panarin.
They're gonna blow up the team. We'll talk about that in another podcast, but I think they're gonna. We'll get there. It's gonna take a little while to get there because.
So. It's closing up the Sharks, they are gonna be good. For a couple more years, at least. You know, they have a ton of good pieces there, and they've been good for maybe 3 or 4 years now. That
I think the, one
the GM thing... knows what he's doing and is able to keep a team and keep them in the playoffs. Well, I guess not make long runs in the playoffs, but make it to the playoffs. Be one of the better Western teams in the regular season.
You
so,
know who's a good team in the West?
Here we go.
Winnipeg. Winnipeg's a good team in the West. And they've also made a trade at the deadline. Segways.
I'm pumped for this.
Segways. So they went and got Kevin Hayes from the Rangers for Brandon Lemieux, a conditional first round pick in 2019 and a 2022 fourth round pick. So yeah,
you know,
it's a big pickup for them.
I always like hearing about Brandon Lemieux because I remember, I forget what year it was, but I remember he got drafted in the second round and he was the first pick. And he was upset that he didn't go first in the first round. So I always check in on him every once in a while to see what he's up to. So I'm like, were you really worth a first round pick? And I don't think he's played much in the NHL. So
no, he's played 9 games in the NHL, in which he scored 1 goal and has no assists.
So yeah, so I just
actually,
always
I
like to make it a point that he was
he played
little...
44 games in the NHL this year.
53
yeah,
games total.
10-2.
He was a big crybaby about not getting drafted in the first round, so I always make it a note to keep tabs on him.
I think Kevin Hayes is going to fit in just well.
He's a tall centerman, and
yeah.
He works the power play pretty good. And that's a scary thing because the Jets have one of the best percentage power plays in the not better than Tampa Bay, but they're up there.
Especially when Patrick Laine is scoring, which he finally did for the first time in like 15 games. The other day. Now, they're another team, though. They've got some signings to do. So, Kevin Hayes is a UFA. Brandon Tanev is a UFA. Andrew Kopp is an RFA. Par Lindholm is a UFA. The big RFA is Patrick Laine.
You know, okay. So,
Kyle
I don't know
Connor.
How much... sorry, go ahead.
There's still more. Jacob Trouba is an RFA. Tyler Myers is a UFA. 3 more defensemen, 2 UFAs, and an RFA. They're not really anything special. And their backup goalie is also an RFA. They're another team that's kind of like, hey, we kind of got to do this now because we're going to lose some people.
So I saw something really stupid on Twitter regarding Patrick Laine and saying that, like, teams were, calling the Jets asking about Patrick Laine. And somebody reported, like, oh, and the phone, wasn't hung up, like, so they were maybe talking about trading Laine. But I feel like a player like Laine, he's not the end-all, be-all for, like, best young player in the league. So if somebody calls asking about him, why wouldn't you listen to what they have to offer?
I think they were.
Maybe you're about to rob a team for Patrick Laine.
Right.
And if they just offer you something... not that great, you just say no, goodbye. I don't know. I just thought that was weird that, like, people were acting like it was a big deal that the GM was talking with other teams about what it would take to get Laine.
Yeah, I mean, it's just Laine's a like a big name star on that team. And I agree with you that why wouldn't you? Because you know you're going to have to pay him. So if you can get something in return that's decent enough, why not try it?
Yeah, if you
I
can
agree with
flat
you.
out rob a team for Patrick Laine, why wouldn't you? And why wouldn't you listen to a GM calling you that they might be offering a crap ton up for Patrick Laine that you know in a couple of years it'll more likely benefit you?
I guess more so just the playoff push now, though. You said there's a lot of signings coming up, but I get it. If you're
Yeah. And I
will,
mean
if
that
someone's willing to pay the kitchen sink, then, why not listen, like you're saying?
Yeah, and obviously nothing came from it because probably no one offered, because if I'm Winnipeg, the asking price has to be at least somebody who can contribute now because they're going on that push.
Somebody who can contribute now and picks or pro and. Or big name prospects, but we do have to keep moving forward. Go through a couple of these quickly. Jordan Weal sent from the Coyotes to the Canadiens, and it means nothing trade. In a trade that could mean something, especially come playoff time, Derek Brassard to the Avalanche from the Panthers for a third round pick. So very interesting there. It's going to be interesting to see how he fits in there. And again, they're another team with a lot of free agents to re-sign. Mikko Rantanen being the big RFA for them this. Offseason coming up. So very interesting there. I know I'm kind of blowing by that one, but we're kind of running out of time. So I gotta get
One thing
two.
on Brassard, though, I just thought that was a fun trade for the Avalanche. It was fun. I liked it. And he scored in his first game. It was a good trade by them.
It adds depth to their lineup again. Just something that they've struggled with. They've had to split up the Landeskog, MacKinnon, and Rantanen line. They've put MacKinnon on line one, Rantanen on two and the Landeskog on three just to try to keep the games close because they've been struggling lately. So Brassard probably will help them out.
It's a great
Just
trade for them.
right.
Yep. And then another big trade that the Nashville Predators made was to acquire Michael Granlund for Kevin Fiala. So a big loss there in Fiala who needs to be re-signed. I think he's an RFA, if I'm not mistaken. But Michael
I think he.
Granlund brings playoffs experience. Something that they're going to need heading into this offseason because they're looking to make a deep push with their
Yeah,
acquisitions.
I think it was well known that he was on the trading
Fiala
block.
wasn't
Oh,
working
yeah.
out. Yeah,
Yeah.
Fiala was.
He really just wasn't
They're not going to be able
gelling
to
in.
sign him. They just weren't going to be able
Right.
to give him a big contract because they have so much money on their
Yeah.
books to begin with.
I don't know if you were gonna hit on this one yet, but Mark Stone
Yeah, what's
trade.
next? I'm
Yeah,
just
that
going
was
on my
a
list. So yeah, Mark Stone was traded to the Golden Knights along with Tobias Lindbergh for Oscar Lindbergh, Erik Brännström, and a second round pick from to Ottawa. So a big acquisition.
not a bad trade by Vegas. I mean,
Yeah.
Brännström is a pretty good prospect, but Mark Stone's like one of the best wingers in the NHL. And apparently they've already agreed to a contract with him too.
Oh, wow.
Apparently, yeah. It's not official yet, but apparently they have agreed to something, or at least preliminary. But he's going to fit well with either Stastny or Carlson,
Yeah.
centering him. So it's going to be really good to see what he does in Vegas. And again, Vegas shipping up for another deep playoff run.
I mean, the Vegas is just a fun team. I think the draft did them a lot of favors, but it's also a good thing because they're able to build and compete, and it really helps build the market there. It's better than when they like expanded to the Florida Panthers or the Hurricanes, where the Hurricanes were a relocation team, right?
Yeah.
Or when like when
Minnesota
other teams,
Claws came in. Yes.
when teams like that would come in and you'd have expansion drafts, and it would take forever for them to even be relevant.
Yep, and it's gonna be good to see them make another deep because they were fun as hell to watch
Yeah,
last
it was
postseason.
great. It
And
was
they're currently
absolutely.
sitting at 69 points. Nice. Third good for third in the Pacific. And so they're 2 points
They're a fun team, and I think it just goes
higher.
beyond the position that they were put into because again, they were put in a favorable position in the expansion draft, which was fun. But that also take you have to have a good GM to make that happen and to continue having this good team. So it's more than just them having a good expansion draft.
Yeah, it's gonna be. gonna be really interesting moving forward for them. And I got one more trade I want to talk about. It's huge. It's relevant. The Blues acquired Michael Delzato from the Ducks for a sixth round pick.
I guess
but
that's
honestly,
relevant.
It'll help them, though. It will help them.
Is he going to be like their fifth, sixth defenseman?
Yeah.
But that's
bottom
a good fifth, sixth defenseman to have.
I just haven't heard anything on Delzato since he's like, I honestly forget sometimes that he exists until stuff like this happens.
Yeah, it's fine. He'll be fine. You never know what he might do there.
Yeah.
I think it was just interesting, and it's former Flyer, so I got to mention it up.
He might slide into some DMs. But, you know, I think that's all he does in St. Louis. I don't know.
Flyers
I don't
are
think...
wearing their Stadium Series jerseys tonight, so that's very interesting.
Yeah, I heard.
Oh, that's cool.
Now, unfortunately, guys, we've had a lot of fun, but we do have to end. We do have to move forward with our lives, watch some hockey. Paulie's got to go play some hockey.
Play some hockey, right?
Ryan's got to scoot around. You know, he's going to...
Well, the scooter's still in the car, so...
Well,
hopping around.
He's got to hop around until he gets to the scooter. Then he's going to scoot around. So that's going to be interesting.
Yeah, this was fun.
This was fun. Paulie, thank you very much for joining us on such short notice. Very glad to have you. We'll have to have you back sometime with Dev here so you guys can, you know, bounce some ideas.
This was an easy kind of thing to talk about because there was a ton of trades and a ton of relevant things going on in the league.
Yeah, and I feel like if it was just me and Ryan, it'd be just a lot of ums. And, you know, we really don't want to hear that.
Oh, yeah, it definitely helps having Dev because he always has something to say.
It's always against whatever I have to say. Yeah. So it was very nice being able to voice an opinion without being contradicted. I'm just kidding, Dev. I love you. But yeah, we've been Whiz Wit Hockey. I've been Drew. He's been Ryan. Wait, I forgot some things. Questions, comments, send us an email at whizwithhockey@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at @whiz_wit_hockey. You can follow myself on Twitter at @thebigdrew92. You can follow Ryan on Twitter at @flywalker1975. Paulie, do you have a Twitter?
No, no Twitter handle. You guys will never follow me or find me.
I'm gonna find him.
God.
I'm gonna find him.
Now you said fine, so I assume you have.
Oh no! I guess I worded that poorly. I don't have.
He's lying. He's got one.
We'll find it.
Me.
He's gritty. We've been Whiz Wit Hockey. I've been Drew. He's been Ryan.
I've been Paulie.
No, Ryan's got to say something. Ryan, you've been doing this.
Oh,
this is the 17th time. So hang on. Let me try this again.
Sorry, I'm focused on where the remote is because I have to hobble over and get it.
I've been Drew. He's been Ryan.
Going to hobble towards the remote.
He's been Paulie.
It me.
Y'all have a good night. Jesus Christ.